You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Eye on the Ball here. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Thanks for waking me up, Tom.
Well, I don't think I had to wake you up.
No, I didn't get you. I must have missed your hello, go Steve. Your go Steve sign. Welcome everybody. Busy day today. 1 hour, of course. We have Lee Schappel calling in about 6:15, 6:16, talking about some good old days. We covered the UA basketball team together back in the day. He's a former longtime Arizona Republic reporter via Amphi High School. He's a Tucsonan and went to Amphi High. I think he went to U of A for a long time, for a while, obviously, and then I think he went to the Citizen, too. I have to get his background. And then I knew him back when he was with the Republic. He wrote a nice little piece on Facebook about his time at the World Trade Center recently and back in the times when we covered Arizona in 2001 when... It was just maybe 3 months after the fact, after the 9/11 disaster or tragedy, that we were there for a game at Madison Square Garden. And he wrote about that. We'll talk a little about that. So busy day today, and we'll talk a little about sports. By the way, I have two more tickets. Anybody wants tickets for this? We got to give them away right away. So first caller, we'll do that. We'll get two tickets to the football game for Saturday. You have to pick them up by tomorrow, obviously. So two tickets for the Texas Tech game, and should be a high-scoring game. Defense not allowed or necessary or available or whatever word you want to use, because it's going to be first one to 50.
Where did you get the idea that Texas Tech's defense wasn't that good?
Because they're that's a good point. Let me try to wiggle myself out of this.
I don't know.
Well, what makes you think, what did I say, first one to 50? Or is that what gave it away? Or because I just think, let me kind of wiggle my way out of this. Let me think about this for a second. Let me come back to you on that. I just think that Arizona is going to score a lot of points because it has good offense.
How many pairs of tickets do you have?
Just one pair, two tickets. So, sorry to say, we only have two tickets. I hope you guys want to talk because we're really getting some calls in here. So I think that Arizona's offense is going to be good enough to score on Texas Tech. Whether Texas Tech has a good enough defense to stop them, I don't know. But I do think that Texas Tech's offense is good enough to score a lot of points on Arizona. That's why the first one to 50 may not apply, but that's my guess. It'll be like 50 to 38. I saw some predictions earlier and they were high scoring and are always kind of high scoring in games like this. I don't think it's going to be any different because they're at Arizona. Last week they played NAU and they gave up 41. So we'll see. We'll talk about that more later. Also, I wanted to talk about, and I know not too many people, or at least in my audience, talk about horse racing, and everyone knows, me knows I love it. I saw that Justify yesterday was found to have failed the test before the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. And, of course, he's a Bob Baffert horse. And, of course, I follow Bob Baffert very, very much. I know the family. And it was just kind of disappointing. It doesn't look like it's not true, but it looks like the California Board of the Horse Racing Association kind of did some things they probably should not have. And there's some questions now whether he should have even run in the Triple Crown, which is sad. In fact, I just got a nice gift from somebody with the Justify. A lot of nice, cool stuff with Justify and had some winning tickets with him. So that's kind of disappointing following horse racing. In fact, Pat Forty from Yahoo.com did a great piece on the situation and horse racing in general, how it's kind of like the beginning of the end, although it's been the beginning of the end for a while. This year in horse racing has been a tragedy with so many horses dying in Southern California and now this debacle and then the Kentucky Derby disqualification of maximum security And just some of those horses not even running since then. So just a lot of kind of crazy things. If anybody would like to call in, please do. I have like 5 minutes before I get to Lee for about a segment or two. I know that we've got a couple of calls already for the tickets right away. So I hope you enjoy the game, whoever you are. We'll have them ready for you at the front desk. So you'll have to pick them up tomorrow, no later than 4, I think it is, as you prepare for Saturday's late game, 7:30 against Texas Tech. So anybody want to call in, please do, 790-2040. Thank you for listening, by the way. I enjoy you guys listening. Thank you. As you know, I'm only 1 hour now, and it's okay with me. We'll see what happens down the road. Maybe get another hour back if needed. And then the basketball program. A lot of talk today of what's going to happen with the basketball team in terms of what people I've talked to. We don't know. We just don't know. The kind of, I'm not saying it's a bombshell from the Book Richardson testimony, non-testimony tape that he was caught on with the undercover FBI guy. More issues involving the program. Another black eye, if you will. We got tickets gone?
Sam took them. He was the first to call in.
Yeah, I saw that.
And
then you got another call.
I had another caller. I had to disappoint him. That's why I asked you if you had any more tickets.
Good point. No, we gave out one a set yesterday and a set today.
But I told him to keep listening because I figured you'd have some more tickets.
Down the road. Yeah, no question. Yeah, and this would be, I don't know if it's a big game. It's a crucial game. Arizona needs to win this. I don't think they will, but it needs to. I think that spread, maybe you can do a quick survey on the line. I think it's still Texas Tech by 3.5, maybe 4. It's a lot of points for a home team against a non-conference team coming in. So we'll see. I don't even know. What's the station? Is it going to be on ESPN?
Yeah, they are going to be on ESPN.
Yeah, so that's for everybody to see how good or bad the team is.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So we'll see. Does it say? Oh, see, you're going. Just go to you. Go down. 3. Yep, 3.
So Texas Tech's got a 3-point edge on the Wildcats.
Well, I don't know about edge, but that's what the Vegas people think they're going to.
Yes. I'll tell you what, there's some interesting odds out there for teams winning the national championship. You know that the University of Florida, which is ranked number 11 right now in the top 25 rankings, is 100-1.
Mm-hmm.
That might not be a bad bet. $100 on the University of Florida to win the national championship.
$100 to win 10,000?
I don't, how can you think that the Gators are 100-1 shot?
Let me tell you.
Maybe a 50-1.
Let me tell you, because Vegas has those nice bright buildings, those big buildings, and people go flock there, and then they usually leave empty. That's how they know. Have you ever known a casino to be kind of downtrodden?
Utah is a 60-1.
I guess that's a no. Utah's a 60-1?
60-1 to win the national championship.
Save your money on
that. But Florida, that intrigues me. 100-1.
$10 on it. Put $10 on it. You get $1,000. $1,010.
Even $100 wouldn't be too bad.
$10,000.
I can afford $10, but $100 would be awful hard.
Just don't eat for a week.
There you go.
Or, for lunch for a week.
Yeah. Hey, no corn dogs.
No corn dogs. Yeah, no betting to me. Hey, let's take a quick break and you get a hold of Lee and we'll talk more about Arizona Athletics on the other side of this break here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And now on the phone we have former Arizona Republic reporter, writer Lee Chappelle. How are you, Lee?
Splendid, Steve, and hello, Tucson. It's been a long time.
You don't come back very often, even though this is your home?
Not so much anymore. My mom and dad are gone now, and I just don't make my way down there as often as I used to.
It's still 10 degrees cooler.
Is it?
Well, 5 degrees. I'll give you 5 degrees.
I'll tell you, I'm so old, I forget these things, Steve. I'll tell you what I really miss, though, at this time of year. Afternoon monsoons, those babies would roll in like clockwork at about 2 o'clock in the old days. Everything would cool off about 30 degrees in a hurry, and the desert smelled good. I missed that.
Well, let me tell you, so do we, because it hadn't happened this year, maybe once.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe once.
I know. It hasn't here either in Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah. Do you, are you, how long have you been retired, or are you?
I'm semi-retired. I left the Republic in 2015, so I guess it's been 4 years. And for a couple of years after that, 3 years actually, I was a managing editor at Times Media Group, which is based in Tempe, has a number of community newspapers and local magazines. And I left there in April, and I've crossed over to the dark side now. You know, I'm a PR hack, but I just dabble at it part-time. I have my own little company with a half dozen clients and just enough to keep me busy.
That's nice. Yeah, yeah. I kind of dabble on that side of the tracks, too, from time to time with a couple of organizations. So let me ask you, did you, when you became a non-sports writer, did you miss it?
I did for a few years. You know, it's the only thing that I had done for 26 years, and I was in sports at the Republic from, well, I'm not even going to tell you the year I started, but through 2003, and so the final dozen or so years, I was out of sports, and I became an editor and a copy editor, and kind of moved up the ranks on that side. But it had reached the point, Steve, in all honesty, where after 7 years on the U of A beat and 9 years on the Phoenix Suns beat and seven more on the Arizona Cardinals beat, there really weren't any more new experiences. It was just kind of the same experiences. And that coincided with the birth of our children. And I just didn't want to be on the road 100 nights a year anymore. So it was time to move on to something else.
No question. And people think that this is a glamorous life. And at times it is, but not all the time, because we're at games, eating bad food, meeting bad deadlines, and waking up and getting on a plane and coming, going to another destination.
Yeah, absolutely. And you learn to sleep on an airplane, or you learn to be able to work on an airplane if there's not too much turbulence and you have a little bit of elbow room. And it can really be a difficult situation. Other time zones, people don't who aren't in the industry maybe don't understand what a factor that can be. But by the same token, I got to go a lot of places and see a lot of things that I never would have been able to see otherwise. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, but overall, I look back on those days with fondness.
Yeah, no question. In fact, one of the memories that you shared, I think it was yesterday, not the day before, was our trip or your trip to the New York area after 9/11 had occurred.
Yes.
3 months after the fact, I was on that trip with covering the team, obviously, with the Citizen.
Yes.
And you wrote it very well, reminiscing about how it was and how it felt. I do remember the incident because I was there as well, and how it smelled and how it sounded.
Yeah, we were there in
November.
It was less than 60 days after the attack. And Arizona was playing, if I remember correctly, the Coaches versus Cancer basketball tournament in New York at Madison Square Garden. And they were involved with the closing bell ceremony at the New York Stock Exchange the day before their game. And I knew that the World Trade Center site wasn't far from Wall Street, but when we got there and I found out it was just a couple of blocks, I had to walk over, and by the time the bell ceremony was over with and I'd walked over, it was dark, and they had these floodlights set up. And I mean, just threw this horrible, harsh glare on the debris, which was grotesque enough.
Right.
Without adding that element, and that there was still some smoke coming from the thing.
Right.
2 months later, and girders, and I just there are very few incidents in my lifetime that have moved me so deeply that I was unable to speak. I was going to call my wife and tell her where I was and what I was seeing, and I couldn't talk. But the thing that one of the things that struck me was the irony of the street name where I stood, Liberty Street.
Mm-hmm.
And to see this background against the name of that street. And then I had the privilege of returning to New York on a personal matter earlier this year in January. I hadn't been back there since everything had been rebuilt. And standing again on Liberty Street and seeing the new tower and seeing the reflecting pools in the footprint of the old towers and having the opportunity to go to the 9/11 Museum, which is beautifully done. If you haven't been there and you ever get the chance, I highly recommend it. It was really an uplifting experience to go back and see it rebuilt. You know, they knocked us down, but they didn't knock us out.
Right, no question. In fact, I was there 2 years ago. My son went to school in the area at Rutgers, so when he graduated, we went out there and spent a while out there. And the mall, it was very massive, that white building, I forgot what it's called, was impressive, right near the Twin Tower area. No question, very impressive. What shook me more, just as much back then in 2001, was the, because we walked around, I know that you and I didn't walk around together, but they were still having funerals and there were constant, and there was a huge church there, and I don't know remember what it was, but it was you could just see the funerals coming in and going for that whole few days we were there.
It was a once in a lifetime experience, fortunately, and certainly one that as long as I have a memory, I will never forget.
Right. So you covered Arizona, maybe, I know you covered football and basketball, right? But not maybe at the same time. So what were your fondest memories of your time covering the team?
Well, there were so many. Let's start with football. I came onto the beat just as Larry Smith became the head coach. And Larry inherited quite a mess from Tony Mason. Many of your listeners may or may not remember that. It was a long time ago. But in essence, he was going to pay the price with probation and bowl game bans from indiscretions and violations during the Tony Mason coaching era. So he was tasked essentially with rebuilding the team into one that not only could withstand those sanctions, but then also compete at the Pac, in those days, the Pac-10 level. Arizona was still new to the conference then. And it was really a joy to watch how he rebuilt it, established recruiting links in Phoenix and Southern California. It was really a developmental program. They didn't get a lot of five-star recruits, but they got a lot of very coachable three- and four-star recruits that they brought in and made better and made them into a team. And in many ways, if you have athletes like that, you're going to have a more successful team than if you have a load of five-star prima donnas. And so one of my favorite memories was going over to USC. I'm trying to remember, I believe it was 1981, and Arizona upset number one USC, and that was the beginning of the reputation of the U of A as giant killers, which proves that you're a small-time program, because if you're known for knocking off great teams, that means you're not one yourself.
Right.
But they got to be where they were well-respected, and they really were in the hunt. And I'll give you a little personal aside, too, about my relationship with Coach Smith. I grew up in Ohio, as did he. He was from a town called Van Wert, which is 15 miles from Lima, where I lived. And when I was in elementary school, the head football coach at Shawnee High School was Jim Young, who would eventually come to the U of A and as a head football coach. And he brought Larry Smith with him as his defensive coordinator. They both came out from Michigan. Dave Strack, who came from Michigan, hired them. And Larry, wanting to move up the ranks, left, became the head coach at Tulane. When Arizona then needed a coach after Tony Mason, they hired him. But it was pretty cool because Larry had been my junior high track coach. And we crossed paths, first of all, when I was working in the U of A Sports Information Office as a student assistant, and then later when I was at the Republic as the beat writer when he was the head coach. And so that was a lot of fun, too.
Right. In fact, I've had a lot of the guys you've probably covered on the show frequently, the Jay Dobbins, the David Adams, those type of guys, the the lunch pail guys when they were, and they admitted they were not highly ranked or rated, but they'd always find a way to get wins, and they were tough dudes who just wanted to play football very hard.
Well, they seemed to beat ASU a lot, which was pretty satisfying. Yeah, I'm really fortunate. A few years ago, I reconnected with Jay via Facebook, and it's been a pleasure to be a Facebook friend with him.
Right. A lot of fun. Are you able to stay another segment for another 15 minutes, kind of reminisce about the good old days?
Boy, if I'm not wearing out my welcome, I'll be happy.
Yeah, fine. We're going to take a break here in about 30 minutes or 30 seconds before all that. But good to hear from you. I know that it's been a long time. I haven't seen you in a while, and you're still looking good. A little older like me, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, I'm not walking with a walker yet, so I'm pretty fortunate.
That makes two of us. Let's take the break here, Tom. I think, can we take the break here now, Tom? Yes. And we'll come back and talk to Lee Schappel on the other side here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host, and on the phone we have former Republic sports writer Lee Schappel. Lee, so you covered Smith. Did you go to Dick Tomey for maybe a cup of coffee?
You know, it turns out I didn't. I left the U of A beat just as Larry Smith accepted the head coaching position at USC. I was promoted at mid-season to the Phoenix Suns beat, so I didn't have the opportunity to cover Coach Tomey. But I'll tell you, I continue to watch the program closely from afar. And there was a run there where they had Jim Young and Larry Smith and Coach Tomey. And those are quite possibly the three best football coaches they have ever had. I mean, with Coach Smith, you had consistency at a higher level. Coach Tomey, I think, had higher highs, but he also had lower lows. But I think he may have had the two best football teams they've ever had there. But when I think back to Coach Young, and you were asking me earlier about my favorite moments, I didn't cover those teams, but I was a student at the U of A at the time, and I was a student assistant in the sports information office at that time. The very best piece of coaching that I've ever seen occurred against the team Arizona is going to play Saturday night, Texas Tech. And Arizona had a horrendous record through the years against Tech. They hadn't beaten them in forever. And more often than not only did they lose, they were beaten like a drum. And they were in the game, and they were marching at the end and needed a field goal to take the lead. And they were out of timeouts. Third down play was close. It was obviously short of a first down. But Coach Young asked for a measurement to get the clock stopped. He has the right to do that. While the officials are bringing the chains onto the field to measure it, Coach Young sends the field goal team out there. They take the measurement. The referee signals, yeah, it's about a foot short. Chains are reset. Clock is wound. Ball is snapped. And Lee Pfister kicks what proved to be the winning field goal. So it's just a masterful piece of coaching when he did not have a timeout.
Yeah, no question. You mentioned Young, Smith, and Tomey. Since then, since Tomey's firing or whatever it was in 2000, they've had Makovic, they've had Stoops, they've had Rich Rod, and now they've had Sumlin. And not the murderer's row, as we'd like to think.
As an alum, it's really been frustrating, at times embarrassing, and it has frankly become very difficult to be a U of A football fan. It starts with recruiting, and I think that largely during those years, they simply haven't had Pac-12 caliber players at every position. They've had a handful. They've had some very fine players. They have some really good ones right now, but it fell off, and they just were no longer able to compete the way they had during the Smith and Tomey eras.
Right. You mentioned being an alum. We won't go into the year you graduated, but you were in the business of sports information. So now you followed basketball for a while with the Lute for a long time during the late 90s, early 2000s, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I actually got onto the beat the final year of the Fritz Snowden era. As a student, I had waited in line overnight to get tickets to the opening games his first year in Bear Down Gym.
73.
Yeah, there was absolutely. And I was one of those morons that was out there all night, and I got my tickets. And it was a boy, those teams are fantastic. The five freshmen, the kiddie core. I can't remember excitement being any higher than that until Coach Olson. And by then I had moved on, and I was the U of A beat reporter for the Republic. And I guess I'm conveniently forgetting the coach in between Snowden and Olson.
Everybody has. Everybody has.
So I won't even go into that. But I have to say that when Lute was hired, I was the only reporter who was at Tucson International Airport just after midnight as the private plane from Waterloo, Iowa pulled up. I had a very good source who leaked the information to me. Unfortunately, that was in the pre-internet era, or I would have beaten the world on that story. But I had to wait until the next morning like everybody else to get it out. But it, once again, I talked about how fun it was to cover Larry Smith rebuilding the football program. It was a lot of fun watching Luke rebuild the basketball team as well.
Yeah, and probably not a surprise to you, given his success at Iowa, that it would happen here. And it happened kind of quick.
It really did, and that can happen in basketball if you recruit well. You just don't need as many guys. You know, if you can get, in those days, if you could get three guys, you could turn it around in a hurry. And he was able to add basically three per year, and that was his recruiting strategy, because in those days, he was recruiting for a four-year program. It was
right
before the one-and-done or the two-and-done, you know, where you're basically reloading every year or every other year. And he built it as a four-year program, and he would bring in three solid players every year so that he had that balance in the classes. And it was a really effective strategy in establishing a strong, consistent program.
I don't remember. Did you cover him in 97?
Yes, I had been gone for a while, my little gig with the Suns, and I came back that year, and I was fortunate to cover the national championship. I picked it up at mid-year, actually, and was fortunate to ride it all the way through the championship at Indianapolis.
Yeah, it's always good. How can I say this? Because this is how I've always said it. It's always good to cover a team on the way up. And as unfortunate as it is to cover a team on the way down, journalists find their best stories when that happens, going up and on the way down. Right now, it's on a trajectory that's not up. It's kind of, you know, right now in limbo. But, you know, what are your thoughts on what's happened over the last couple of years?
Oh, I think that it's symptomatic of what's happening in sports in general. I suspect that the U of A isn't the only team that that may have some things that are unsavory. They've just been unfortunate to be among those to be caught, or at least to have serious allegations raised. I think the money has ruined the sport. I think that the early out has contributed to that. I think cable television has contributed to that. Everybody wants to be a star and highlight reel on ESPN, and they see a lot of contract with a lot of zeros in it. And I think that it's put a lot of pressure on coaches as well. And to some extent, that's probably responsible for some of the unscrupulous things that perhaps some coaches have done to land players.
Yeah, no question. In fact, I think that some of the media is involved as well in terms of the demise. Because I have a hard time, and I know we do it every now and again, when you were doing stories on kids who are kids, you know, 10, 11, 12, and we glamorize these kids who have plenty of time to enjoy that if they're good enough, not when they're 10, 11, 12.
Yeah, it's really true. And I've often wondered how many athletes who are involved in pro sports and maybe even college sports would be involved if there wasn't any coverage, if they were playing their games on Thursday night at the Salvation Army gym in front of 45 people, would they still be doing it? Or the same thing, you know, if they're up at 10 a.m. Saturday at a football field in some park somewhere, you know, with mom and dad and a few friends watching the game and no media coverage, would they be doing it for love of sport? I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, as a student here, so following Jim Young and covering things like that, because you're in the SID office, what were maybe some of the best storylines as a student? Because you were a rah-rah guy as a student.
Yeah, I was. And that was difficult for me when I became a reporter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I got the U of A beat, because now I've got to be impartial. And I was able to do it, and I'm really proud of the fact that I was able to do it. I wrote a lot of stuff during my time on the U of A beat that probably didn't make the U of A very happy. But I had to do my job, and you have to be impartial, and that's part of being a professional, no matter what you're background might be or where you're from. But when I was a student in the athletic department, it was interesting because so many things were changing. Arizona just came into the Pac-10, and they were trying to up the recruiting game, and they were looking for new ways to be competitive. And I do remember that one of those things Coach Young brought in. He brought in what was then regarded as the state-of-the-art training equipment, Nautilus equipment, and I was asked to do a recruiting brochure that they would use, so I had to study up on this stuff. Well, I don't know exercise physiology, but I became an expert on it pretty quickly, and I put together this recruiting brochure, and they fired it off, and you know, I hoped it helped them. They seemed to recruit pretty well, but it was just a period of change, and it was exciting because Tucson was also changing. It was growing from a community that, I don't want to say it was a cow town, but it still had a real small town feel. And it was becoming a little more cosmopolitan. It was sort of getting on the radar in many ways beyond sports. And I think the growth of the U of A athletic program at that time sort of paralleled the growth of Tucson at that time, too. It was new and exciting and growing.
Right. Well, I still think that there's a small town feel to it to a certain degree. Obviously, it's not the Phoenix area metropolis that it is now and all those sports that you have up there. So you a lot to do up there, a lot of things to watch. And do you still take advantage? Are you a fan, sports fan still?
Yeah, yes and no. The teams here have been so bad. It's, right. It's really hard to be a fan. I'll tell you what I have really become a fan of. I have become a high school football fan again because they're doing it largely because they want to do it. There's not a lot of money. There's not a lot of the stuff that I think has tainted college and professional athletics. And it's really fun for me to go out there on a Friday night and just enjoy a football game.
Well, good that you're getting back to your roots as you get older and still having fun watching games. My life as a sports fan ended a while back. I just know how the sausage is made, and that's kind of made me a little jaded.
Yeah.
Jaded.
Well, I know what you mean, and I'm kind of in that same boat. I'll tell you what, though. I'm actually coming down to the game Saturday. It'll be my first game at Arizona Stadium in, I don't know, 15 years. I haven't been there since they put in the artificial turf and redid the north end zone and put up the big video board and all that stuff. So,
what makes this happen?
Maybe it's Texas Tech, and maybe it's that memory that I had, of that game that years ago. I don't know. I also like the band. You know, I'm going to get there early and make sure that I get to hear the Pride of Arizona, because that's something that I've missed too.
Yeah.
I didn't attend Ohio State, but I'm a Buckeye by birth, and so I've been a big Ohio State fan. And of course, they've got the best damn band in the land, and that's as big a part of it as the football team, which has been pretty good. So I'm real eager to come back to the U of A. I hope they can put on a show Saturday. I know their first two games have been really tough, and I know that the coaching staff's under a lot of pressure there right now, and the players as well. So hopefully they'll get it going.
Well, we started this conversation talking about the good old days, and we'll end it that way with your Texas Tech U of A reminiscing and coming back for the first time in a few years. Enjoy your trip down and enjoy the game.
Thanks, Steve, and thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
You're great. Good to talk to you, Lee. Appreciate it.
Take care.
That was good. That was Lee Schappel from the formerly of the Arizona Republic, one of my colleagues slash competitors back in the day, covering U of A. Let's take our final break here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. We have about 8 minutes left. Anybody wants to call in, talk about the good old days or what's going to happen this weekend in a chance that maybe in 20 years people will say, oh, you remember that game? Those are the good old days. Arizona knocked off Texas Tech when Rivera or everybody else said they had no chance, especially the pundits that Tom talks about on a daily basis.
What do you mean?
Your pundits.
I'm not relying on any pundits. I watched the game against Hawaii and NAU.
And what'd you think?
And the offense seems to be coming along pretty well. I see a lot more potential in the offense than we've seen so far. So I don't have any real complaints about the offense. I'm worried about the defense, I have to say. That's my only concern.
It's your only concern. I think it's the concern of many. And if they don't hold them to X amount, they're not going to have enough points.
And against a team like Texas Tech, our punting game may be crucial. And I can't say that our punter has done very well.
They can still drive 80 yards just as easily as they could drive 60 yards.
Yeah, but if we have too many three and outs and we have to rely on our punter to maintain some kind of field position, that could be a problem.
Yeah, no, it definitely could be a problem.
Our field goal kicker, though, has been doing pretty good. Kudos to the field goal kicker.
Yeah, you know that they've only played Hawaii and NAU.
I know.
So that's not a great sample size.
I know.
So we'll see. As bad as UCLA is, I think that's still a better game in 2 weeks. They already have another break here after this weekend.
Is Arizona playing UCLA in a couple of weeks?
In a couple of weeks, yeah. Here.
That could be a win for Arizona.
Could be. I thought UCLA might be better. But
if they don't get too beat up Saturday night.
Arizona?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Injuries could come into play.
Sure. If people remember on Monday and if Arizona wins, people can easily call me and say, Steve, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm okay with that. You can call me.
But we do have a couple of bright spots with the women's soccer teams and volleyball teams.
Yes. Yes, soccer has yet to be scored on, right?
That's my understanding. Nobody's managed a goal against them yet. That's four straight games.
Oh, is it? They're 4-0?
That's when I believe
it's still
so.
Early in the league play yet. Yeah, so, and then volleyball, of course, they've done well to this point. Of course, it's still early in the season. Sample size, got to need sample size to see what's going to happen long term.
They were at the San Diego State
Invitational
mm-hmm. and won two games there. Mm-hmm. The volleyball team. So
yeah,
good.
We've had Rubio on a couple times at least. I haven't talked to the soccer coach that much, maybe a time or two earlier last year when I first started the show, Amato. Maybe I'll try to get him on, see what the success is. I know they have a pretty good goalie, or two of them actually, that have done their jobs very well. So we'll see what happens.
Well, earlier I said something about the Florida Gators being a 100-1 shot
to win the title.
To win the national title. Well, they've gained some respect because now they're down to 80-1.
Well, 80, 100, what's the difference? If you're going to put $100 on it, you get $8,000, $8,100.
Utah's gained some respect too. They were 60-1, now they're 30-1.
31, I'd say about 45. Yes, I still wouldn't put money on
it. I missed my opportunity with the Gators, though.
100-1
yesterday.
Yeah. 80 is still pretty good for
that's
50
not bad.
Bucks.
For a team
bucks.
Like the Gators, you can't.
Well, you saw last week, maybe the opening season of the NFL, someone bet $30,000 on a win in the NFL and ended up winning $600,000 on a single game. If you Google that, you could find it. 30,000 bet on an NFL game. He ended up winning 600,000 because he talked about points. He bought points, and the team was, it was such a blowout that his ticket won a ton of money, more money than anybody thought would win because the team, in fact, I'll try to Google it. We don't have very much time here, about 3 minutes. We'll talk about that maybe tomorrow. I think I'm going to have Michael Lev on the show tomorrow. And my boy Matt Moreno talking about U of A, getting us ready for the Saturday game. We'll see.
I'll try not to be too much of a downer, but I am hopeful for the offense. So, like you were saying, this is going to be it could come down to a game where which team outscores the other.
Oh yeah. And there won't be a thing where the last team that has the ball wins. I think it's going to be like a 2-touchdown type of thing. And not good. So a better turned $30,000 into a $600,000 payday after the riskiest Ravens bet. It was, I guess, they were a 7-point favorite. The guy bought points, and they won by 30 or something, and it went up to $600,000 on that
and
ticket.
And he plunked down $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, you have $30 so I could borrow?
Yeah, $30 maybe, but not $30,000.
Right. People like that just do this for fun.
I guess.
And that's their fun. I wish I could have that type of fun. No, I'd stress too much.
Gee, $600,000. They could buy a pretty nice boat with that.
Boat? Pretty nice house? Pretty nice, a lot of things.
Yes, that's true.
Pretty nice, a lot of things. I couldn't retire on it, but I could. I'd live. Hell, I can't retire now.
All right.
Sorry to depress you. Well, good show today. I enjoyed talking to Lee. I hadn't talked to Lee in a while. And no, he's getting up there in age, but not that old. Talks about the mid-70s when he was a student. And this time with Young, Smith, and Dick Tomey. It's funny. Everyone thinks, oh, you have a great job traveling all over the country. Sometimes it gets old, especially now when you have to travel because of all the 9/11 fiasco.
Are you having to do some traveling pretty soon?
No. For most of my career, I did.
Oh,
25 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, no, not so much, which I'm okay with, more than okay with.
So you're going to have a couple of folks in studio with you tomorrow?
At least one. Moreno. Matt Moreno, maybe. And Michael Lev of the Daily Star will probably be on the phone if I can get him.
All right.
So looking forward to that show. We'll talk a lot about UA football. Hope to have some callers. Tickets are gone now. And enjoy the games, whoever got the tickets. Thanks a bunch here on 1030 The Voice.